Tonight's chabur is on Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezvav, and I wanted to speak about, with an assist from Shraga, I wanted to speak about a part of the Gemara that's on Daf Tezvav, Amud Aleph, right in the middle. And it's there where the Gemara, if you'll recall, we have for some time been going through a lot of the discussion about the Esrog. In general, we've been discussing about what stage of growth is critical. As I've mentioned certainly in my morning shiur, and I think it may have come up in the chaburas, but I've certainly repeatedly mentioned in my morning shiur that whenever it comes time to figuring out trumas and maestras and the like, it's really, if you're thinking about like a grid, there are two variables that need to be taken into account. One is, depending on the type of thing we're talking about, fruits, vegetables, grains, and the like, what calendar date is considered critical, and we know that that's obviously already an issue in our Mishnah and the Gemara. And the second thing is not only what calendar date, but then what part of the growth has to happen by that calendar date. There's two different variables that fluctuate, which can sometimes be confusing. So in the course of that big discussion, which we've been having over a number of dapim, there's a big spot in the middle there, which we know there's this heavy focus on the esrog, because esrog happens to have characteristics obviously like a fruit tree. On the other hand, because of its need for an overabundance of water, so that has a characteristic like a vegetable. And therefore, you have the famous sheet of Avraham Gamliel that says that when it comes to trumas and maestras, we would treat an esrog like a vegetable and go based on lakita when it's picked. Even Rabbi Gamliel, and this will be relevant for this year, even Rabbi Gamliel held that when it comes to Shemitah, we go by Chanata, when it's first blooming. So I want to just pick out a few lines of Gemara here in the middle of Tezvav Amud Aleph, which are part of that larger discussion, and then use that, I hope, if time permits, to discuss two halachic topics. One by request, which is a little bit of a review of the basic halachos of Biur, and then I'll also want to discuss with you an interesting topic, which really will need even more work. I mean, they both, I'm just giving you a little horrors. I mean, they could both have more shurim, frankly. But another topic, which is the notion that peros of Shemitah are potter from trumas and maestras. Why is that so? So the Gemara I'm referring to on Tezvav Amud Aleph is Amar Rabba. It's almost halfway down. And Rabba has two successive halachos, which are going to be analyzed, and it's the first one which really makes no sense, at least not ostensibly, which is going to be the source of confusion, or at least curiosity. Amar Rabba, Esrog Bas Shishis, something that's growing and presumably had its blooming stage in the sixth year. Shenichnasa L'Shvius, but it still hasn't been harvested yet, and now comes into the Shemitah year. And maybe then it's only picked. So what would be the halacha? On the one hand, it grew a little bit in the sixth year. On the other hand, it grew and had a critical stage in the seventh year. It says, Rabba, Petura min ha-Maiser, u-Petura min ha-Biur. On the one hand, it's Pater for Maiser, which indicates that it's what year crop? Seventh year crop, because we don't know yet why, but seventh year crops are Pater for Maiser. On the other hand, it's Pater from Biur. If it's Pater from Biur, that indicates what? That it's a six-year crop, or any in the first six. I mean, Biur is a halacha of Shemitah. So that psak right away of Rabbah is inherently contradictory, which we'll get back to in a second. Then Rabbah continues, Ubas Shviyas Shenechnasa L'Sheminis, same thing, but it really had its first critical stage in the seventh year, second critical stage in the eighth year. It says Rabbah, Petura B'Maiser, it's Potter for Maiser, which indicates that we look at it as a seventh-year crop. V'Chayevis B'Biur, which also indicates that it's a seventh-year crop. So the Seifa, the second halacha of Rabbah, leave aside how that works into Chanata and Lakita, which is not our topic for tonight, but for the purpose, and it's really not the focus of the Gemara at the moment, that is consistent, as the Gemara points out. Amar Layabaye, to the extent that we care about the year Bishlama Seifa Lachumra, and as Rashi and Mefarshim point out, because Rabbah had been of an opinion, like Rabbi Gamliel, that an esrog should be like Lakita, in which case we should have viewed this as an eighth year crop, the Seifa, because it's picked in the eighth year. But Rashi says, and I mean this is what Rabbi is obviously getting at, it's a big machlokas. Shemitah is the Araisa. So therefore, he was machmir and said, listen, maybe it's like Chanata. After all, the other Tanaim hold it's like Chanata. Therefore, we'll be machmir and treat it like a seventh-year crop. Machmir to require beer. Obviously, to pater trumas and maestras is a kula. But we'll be machmir to require beer. At least, again, that's at least a consistent internally shita. The chumrah idea, again, which can be confusing, is not because of what we just read. It's because of the back knowledge we have that Rabbah agrees with Rabbi Gamliel. However, the Gemara says, what's the focus? El reisha, patur min abiyur amai. Why should it be patur from abiyur? The Amrinan must be the Amrinan Zil Basar Chandata, which was in the seventh year. But Yahi, if that's the case, Tichayev B'Maiser. So what's going on? Why is it Chayev and Maiser? Amrlei, so why should it should be Chayev and Maiser? Amrlei, so he says, Enechanami. Sorry, again, that it's in the sixth year. The reason it's Potter from Beer, it's a 6 year crop. But if it's a 6 year crop, it should be Chayev and Maiser. And yet, Rabbah said it's Potter from Maiser. Amrlei, a big Chiddush. Yad hakol mamash mishin bav ad amrti chayev b'maiser. So Rashi explains a big chiddush that Rabbah would answer that even though it's a 6 year crop and even though mi'ikr hadin it's not hefker. Let's be honest. You ever see Jews at a shmorg? You know. So that's what mestame looked like on Shemitah. In other words, you'll forgive the racially insensitive comments. Self deprecating jokes is a general rule in halacha, right? You can always make fun of your own ethnic group. So. Everyone's going to be running to the orchard. So what's this poor farmer going to do? He's got 80% of his orchard that's a seventh year crop, and everyone's going to be able to take it. But he's got this little tree here in which it was really a shishish, shenichlas, or shviyas. So he's got to have a sign, you know, with all sorts of haskamas even. You know, this is 6 year crop. This is not for you. But give me a break, right? People are going to be grabbing, and even if they don't take it, it's going to be all touched and all bruised and all yucky. And for all intents and purposes, it's going to be treated like hefker. So he says, listen, have rachmanis on the poor farmer. You're going to make him give truma and meiser on something which for all intents and purposes anyway was treated like hefker? So we'll leave it. Now it happens to be that Abaye, the Gemara says in the next line, Abaye disagrees or other Amorim disagree because they say that's got nothing to do with us, so to speak. That's gezel. Because people are gosling from him, we can't pot through him for money. It doesn't work that way. If someone else stole from you, you wouldn't. If I had a yield, which was machayiv and meiser, and then someone stole a part of it, would that pot through me for meiser? No. So why should this be any different? Right? That's the adkan, the Gemara. I hope it was a review for those. I hope you all saw it already. I'm just giving you the quick review so you're focused. But the points that I want to focus on tonight are, of course, the two nafkamin. It's not the issues which are really in the Gemara. The issues that are really in the Gemara are Lakita versus Chanata, Tu B'Shvat versus Rosh Hashanah, and all these kind of things. But the nafkaminas of those things, which are mentioned al atzad, incidentally, in our Gemara, are the two halachas that I do want to mention. And that is that it's really, in a certain sense, if you will, a zero-sum game, or two nafkaminas going in opposite directions. But they both flow, they're two sides of the same coin. That is Peiros Shvius, on the one hand, they're Potter from Trumas and Maestros. On the other hand, they are chayev in biur. Those are the two points that are mentioned in passing in our Gemara. So since that's probably not what we may not have been focusing on when we learned the Gemara, because that's really not the thrust of the Gemara, so I'll take the opportunity to give a little bit of the iyun onto both of those mitzvahs. Mitzvahs biur and patur, trumas and maestros. So basically, there is a pasuk in Vayikra and Perchav Hei, pasuk Zayin, which is quoted by the Sifra, which tells us basically the halacha of biur. The halacha of biur is ayvapen. The halacha of biur is such that the Torah tells us as long as there's food still in the field for not only the poor people, but also for the animals and the like, so then you are allowed to keep. In other words, you went, whether it's in your field or someone else's field, you were kona some hefker peiros, and you have it, that you're allowed to keep that. As long as there's still the same species out in the field. But once there's no longer left in the field for the animals, so then that is what's called shas biur, and there is a mitzvah. Now the shaila is, what is that mitzvah? So these are mishnayos that are discussed in Perek Tes of Masechta Shviyas. It's the second to last perek. Perek Yud is actually by Shemitah Sukhsafim. So it's really the last perek that deals with the agricultural parts of Shemitah. And there we are told, there's various different mishnayos, but in Perek Tes Mishnah Ches, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who says in the nusach that we have in our Mishnah, that the zman of biur, when that point happens, then you're allowed to give it to aniyim, or to ashirim, and even though it's not beferish, but it's developed in the idea of the Gemara, and Yerushalmi, and the like, there's this idea of what's called mazon l'shalosh sudos, that you're allowed to at least, you can disperse amongst your, you know, the FODs, friends of David, you know, you can give out to the people you got, Muslim the Shalosh Sudos, but you can't hoard it all for yourself. It has to be given out in no more quantity than that. That's Rabbi Yoshi Shita. However, if you take a look at the Rambam in the Perashat Mishnayos on that in Parakei Mishnah Gimel, the Rambam quotes Rabbi Yossi, but the Rambam has a different girsa. And the Rambam's girsa is that once the Rabbi Yossi, who we seem to paskin like, but his girsa, sometimes it can come down to a girsa, the Rambam's girsa Rabbi Yossi is that when you hit Shas Bir, it's usser. Rabbi Yossi held you give it away. You can keep it. You have to give it away in certain proportions, but it's not usher. And that background is important because that leads to the famous psak of the Rambam, which you may be familiar with. The Rambam says both in the Perashat Mishnayos and Perek Tes, as well as in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel Perek Hei, the Rambam paskins that when you hit Shas Biur, if you have any of those peros, you have to destroy them. Biur Chometz type Biur. You have to destroy them. Whether it's burning, you know, we could get to the homachlokas like in chametz, but you have to destroy them. It needs kli, it needs to be destroyed. And again, that's obviously a humongous chumrah. In a certain sense, you could call it a kula in peros shvius, because usually we have to be very careful with peros shvius. You're not allowed to destroy it prematurely even. But the Rambam holds that that's the halacha of biur, pshuta kamashmo, that you have to destroy it. L'chaora, other Rishonim asked on him, it's against Rabbi Yossi. But the simple answer on that point is that he had it, clearly, if you look in Parakei, the Rambam had a different nusach of Rabbi Yossi. That's the famous, or infamous, or Shitas Rambam. Many, many, many Rishonim argue. Depending on your preference, you could focus on any one of the Rishonim. When I learned the Sugya, I focused on the Ramban. Ramban is in Vayikra, on the Pasuk, in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Zayin, and the Ramban, it's a lengthy piece, but the upshot is he rejects the Rambam outright, and he says that the Biur here is not Miloshen Biur Chometz, but Miloshen Biur Maestros. And namely, that means that you make sure you took care of it, you removed it, you didn't hoard it. But it doesn't mean that you had to destroy it. And in fact, the Ramban's Shita is that biur basically means hefker. That even though, right, there's like a cycle, perishvias are hefker, and I was kone it, I was zoch in it. Comes the shas biur, I'm no longer allowed to keep it. That minimal amount of self-ownership or capitalism, that window of that in the Shemitah year closes, and now I have to go back to the socialist version of Shemitah, and I have to be mafkir it. Now, the weakness in the Ramban is that it's like a legal fiction, because all the poskim hold that you don't have to, like, you know, do it in Times Square in front of 1,000 people. You could do it, you have to be out of your property, but you could be right in front of your house. And a minute later, you could take it in front of 3 people, even 3 people who are your friends who are going to let you recone it a minute later.
It's all amigo. It's like amigo, you can take it for yourself because you're an honey.
I don't think, not that I recall. But the point is, nevertheless, despite the fact it seems to be like a symbolic legal fiction, nope, that's what the Ramban says. And you could argue again, at least in philosophy, you could certainly make an argument, even in Tamiya Mitzvahs, why, even though the Torah, which clearly the focus of Shemitah is our ownerlessness and our, you know, passivity in a certain sense, yet, obviously, the Torah had to make we wouldn't be able to eat if we weren't allowed to take anything. But, you know, kind of a second reminder later in the year, you know, even though you've been holding this food and you think you can own things in Shemitah, just remind you that the Iker, the default of Shemitah is ownerlessness. And that's the basic machlokes. The Tosefta, there's a makor, the Ramban quotes a Tosefta, that you can reclaim it miyad, as I said, even though it really makes it into a legal fiction. But no. He might hold this against his version of Rabbi Yossi. A mission against the Tosefta for the Rambam. That's easy. So that's, and the Chazanish and many others, but the Chazanish is the Farish that we paskin like the Ramban. I don't know. I could be wrong. I never, you know, in any active, intelligent way, went through a year in Israel, knowing what people did. But as far as I know, there's no one who actively. Maybe the Briskers. I don't know. I don't know. Really is no hig like the Rambam. You have these charts that are popular in Israel, and there's different shitas of the charts, different species, when their Shas Biur is. And that's what people do. They're mafkir, and then they recone it. I just want to mention one or two other things, particularly because after Pesach, I got 2 shilas from members of ours who both realized without, and both came across over Pesach, the fact that they had Shemitah wine didn't even know it was there. Someone gave it to them as a present, or they bought it by accident. And it turns out that they were way past the Shas Biur, right? Pesach of the 8th year. And what's the status of that wine? They didn't do Biur. So what is the status? So just to give you, it's a machlokes, so I had to really look into it for them, halacha l'maisa, but I was reminded of the stuff that we learned last year as well. And that is the following. The Ramban, the same Ramban who says you only have to be mafkirit, but he says if you weren't mafkirit, then there's a knas min rabban and it's asr. You're not allowed to benefit from it. The Marit is part of this famous dispute with the Beis Yosef, which is very relevant for the Heter Mechira, which we're not discussing. But the Mabid who held that, forget Heter Mechira, you have an actual guy who owns actual land, who grows actual food, produce, in Israel proper. So, do I then buy it from the guy? Does it have a lachos of Shemitah for me or not? So the Beis Yosef held no, but the Mabid holds yes. But the Mabid had a chumrah, given that it has kusher shvias, even what the guy grows. If it's after Shas Biur, even though I bought it from a guy, well, the guy was going to do beer. It doesn't matter, says the Mabit. It has Kepere Shvias, Kedusha Shvias, it has the status, therefore required beer. If it wasn't, you know, you should make sure to buy it from the guy before beer so you could do the Hefker. But if you didn't, then it would be too late. That's an extreme version, extreme application of the Ramban.
You can't use it?
Right. That's an extreme version of the Ramban. So, on that point, the Sefer HaCharedim, I don't remember the name of the author, but I believe he was also from around that Tkufa, and he was maybe a little bit younger, but he was from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. I think he may also have been from Tzfat. A lot of this, all this was happening. The action in the 1500s, in the 14th, 15th century was all in Tzfat. That's what the Yosef was, that's what the Mabit was, that's what the Marit was. So the Sefer Charedim, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was also one of the Chachamim of that general Tkufa from Tzfat. So he disagrees with that. He says, how could you say that? Even Lishitasa, that it has Kedusha Shvias, the Peros of the Goy. But he's not mechuyev in biur. So how could you say that we're going to have a knas? A knas is someone who didn't do something they're supposed to do, we give him a fine. But if he was never supposed to, how can we fine a person for doing something, not doing something that they never had to do anyway? So the Shla Karosh argues on the Charedim, defending the Marit, and I didn't bring the Lashon with me, but the Lashon is very, very striking. It's the Marit. He's the son of Mabit, but they agree on all this stuff. But the particular tshuva I was quoting is Aleph Mem Gimel of the Maharit. That's the son.
Once it goes back into the hands of the Jew, it reattaches.
Maybe that's what the Maharit says. So, but that's not how the Shlah interestingly defends him. The Shlah says, what's the difference that the Goy wasn't Mitzuveh? It has Kedushas Peros, and therefore there was a Chovas Biur. No one did it, and therefore it becomes usher. Period.
So it's not a knas?
Very good. So I think what's clearly, if I had brought the Lashon, I think you would even see it, but what's clearly emerging from the Shla and the Charedim is a very interesting debate, which again would be a subject perhaps of a whole shir if we were so inclined at the time. And that is the whole, it's really a lam shaila on biur. I think it really emerges most clearly out of this machloka shla and charedim. And that is the shaila of whether biur is a chovas gavra, or is it just a result of the kedushas peros, is it in the peros themselves? Clearly the marit and the shla are farther away from a pure knaf, because they seem to be much closer to saying it's something inherent. Something that has kedushas peros needs biur. It may not be a knas in the, it's not a knas in the sense of punishing you, because maybe you didn't have to deserve punishment. But if you didn't do what needed to be done, poison is poison. It's not a punishment. It is what it is. And again, I have to go back to see, check the Lashon of Tosefta and the Ramban to see how closely they can fit into that or not. Whereas the Charedim is taking a different approach, which I think is the way I was originally explaining the Ramban. It's a little bit straighter, and that is, no. It's a din in the Gavra. The Gavra has to do it. The gavra to do it, so then we might punish him. But in a case where there was no gavra to be mechuyev, the parents of the nachri, so why would it make sense to be punishing him? And again, what I want to point out, Ali, is that it seems to me, at least, that the way these achronim, and again, it goes to the earlier Rishonim, the way they're arguing, it seems to be, again, I could be wrong, and it could be there's others who would disagree, but they seem to be a little different than what you were saying. seems to me that they were agreeing that there's a critical time. The question is, how do you understand that critical time? If you understand it's a din in the peros, then whatever happened at that critical time, that it was chayv and beer, no one did it, too bad. Whereas the Haredim is understanding, no, it's a din in the gavra. And if there was no gavra who didn't do what he was supposed to do at that time, we're not going to punish him because now he's doing it, because it's too late to do it. You only have to do it if you owned it, b'shas biur. But if I didn't own it, b'shas biur, so then I'm not chayiv to do it, and there's no reason to punish me for not. And so, l'maisa, getting back to closer to our day and age, so that's the shaila about the nachri. What if a Jew owns it, but didn't do it? Not b'mezid. He didn't do it b'shogeg or b'onus. He didn't know he had it, like our case in Baltimore. He didn't know the halacha, which may also have been the case in Baltimore. What's the halacha then? So the Chazon Ish in Choshmita Parak Yudalit, Simon Yudalit, I should say, Sifkot Yud Gimel, he's Machmer. Shogeg Onus, you didn't do it? Too bad. That's the Knas. You got
to
do it. I guess. I don't know. That's the part I don't know. That's because I'm not a rabbi in Israel. If I was, I would know.
You just let it spoil, maybe.
I don't know. You have to just leave it there for, you know.
Maybe open the bottle.
I'm honestly not sure. I'm not sure. And that's why I off the top of my head, when I was first asked, again, it was like within 2 or 3 days, two different Baal Batim asked me the same Shaila. And I couldn't remember, but I did not honestly remember which Shita said what. But what I had most dominantly in my memory was this position of the Chazon Ish. They didn't do it. So I just wasn't sure what to do. Shraga's question was bothering me. Also would have given, but it's good that I didn't give him a psak right away, because in preparing for this year, I was reminded that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach argues. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Minchas Shlomo in Simen Aleph, Echelik Aleph, excuse me, Simen Nun Aleph, which is like a number of, it's like every paragraph is another halacha. It's like it's a miscellaneous group of halachas on Shemitah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is Mekel. And he's Mekel based on the Haredim. You can understand why it's a consistent shita. That if you hold it, it's really a knas. Knas is when we punish people for being mazed. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. But someone who was onus, and the Shlomo says even a shogeg, he says that's not what the knas is for. You weren't hoarding it. Hoarding it is going connected with what the Torah wanted. You weren't trying to hoard it to be connected with the Torah. You didn't know. You didn't even know you had it. You didn't know that was the halacha. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, based on the Haredim, is Mekel. And he says, there's no svar to be kone someone since it was ba'onis. And he even has a lashon of shogig. So even if you could start clarifying where the line between onis and shogig is, if I understood him correctly, it wouldn't really matter because I think he'd be Mekel on both. And as the Shlomo Zalman himself seems to indicate, it really is based on that earlier machlokas, Haredim and Shlo. And the way I'm interpreting that machlokas would be also the same machlokas Chazon Ish and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Again, to what extent you see it as something in the peros, it's too late, it doesn't matter if you did right or wrong. And to what extent do you see it as really just a punishment, a chiv of the gavra, and the only reason to punish you is if you did something wrong. But if you were just innocent or completely accidental, then there would be no reason to punish you. Okay, maybe there's more to say, but we'll say ad kan v'sulo on biur. Yes. Or maybe not yes.
How much, if any, of this to your company? I kind of keep waiting for you to say that, you know, just like to your company, you know, what...
You mean like Chomes HaShavah Lovah
Tepeza? Yeah, is that a knas?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see anyone... The Lashon, which was brought up, right, that there were some who learned the Lashon, like maybe your Chomes, like the Rambam, so that, what's the Lashon of Biur? That was a debate. Do you look at Chomes or do you look at Biur Maestros? But I didn't see anyone, at least not that I can recall. I don't remember. I don't remember seeing anyone say anything about comparing it to Chomesh Elul versus Pesach.
And is there something like Bittul Shviz? Like when to do Biur, do you say any, you know?
Not that I know of. That's the machlokas. In essence, that's the machlokas. Do you have, like with Chomesh, do you have to, we either destroy it or we do Bittul, in a sense. And Bittul might be Mitam Efker. That's Pesachim Sugyas. So here also, the Rambam and the Ramban are arguing, is Biur Shvius like Chomets, i.e., that you have to destroy it, or is it like Bittul, so to speak, which is just this intellectual thing. But again, to go that far into the details of Chomets as a reference here, to the Chomets all over the Pesach and Knas, I didn't see anyone say that.
Well, there's no equivalency between the Kedusha of Peru Shvius and Kedusha of Chomets. It's kind of stops there.
There's no Bali Rambam, you must have.
Right, that's also the Bechumah, right, that's right. Anyway, okay, so let's focus now the rest of the shiur. We have a good 15 minutes or so at least, maybe we'll take 20, or maybe we'll need only 15, and that's just discuss the issue of Trumos and Maestros. So the Gemara here clearly assumes that if something would be labeled a Bas Shvius, it would be Potter from Truma and Maestros. So there's a very famous Rashi here on our daf. The truth is that this sugya is kimat not in Shvius. If you look in all the Shemitah Svarim, whether they be earlier Achronim or contemporary Svarim, there's tons of Rosh Hashanah Mar Mekamos in the index on this stuff. This is not secondary stuff. This is primary turf for this sugya. Not so much for Beer, because Beer has real Shvius Makoros. So it's just Agav here. But this is really the main sugya in the Bavli for the issue of Trumas and Maestros. So that's why I wanted to really discuss it here. And the biggest discussion centers around this Rashi. The Rashi is Amar Le'Abaye, Bishlama Seifa. So if you take a look about halfway down, Rashi says, really parallel to the Amar Rabba we started with, the Hefkera de Shvius, Pater Lami Meiser. Right? It should be Pater. Why? He quotes a Mechilta. The Mechilta says, V'achlu evyonei amecha. Yeah, you leave the fields ownerless, so the poor people can come and take. And whatever's left over, tochel chayes asada, the animals will eat. Sof pasuk. Ma says the drasha. Ma chaya ocheles upatura mi meiser. It's kind of a funny drasha. So it's like the animal's not chayet to give meiser. Half odom potter. Period. So too, the person is not a chayev. Peir shvius, just like an animal could eat it, the man could eat it, we're no better than the animals in that sense. And so therefore, if that's the case, so too, just like they don't have to give meiser, we don't have to give meiser. That is the drasha of, the famous drasha of Mechilta, quoted by Rashi. Now, what makes this somewhat complicated is if you take a look below, in Rashi, Divra Maskla Yad HaKol, few Rashi's down. So we had said before that even if you view it as a 6-year crop, nihidilo mechayev lahafkarei, and therefore he's not mechayev, there's no chayev hefker, he's not a halachic hefker, dolo nahaga boshvius, because after all, it's a 6-year crop. Mihu kosados upardesos hefker hain boshvius, but lamaisa, this is going to be the one tree and an orchard, which everything else is hefker, you're going to have people running through amok. And let's be honest, they're not going to take so seriously your property warning that says don't touch this six-year crop. They ain't Esther Xen, Nishmar as a result, Nishmar Ba Lavado. And therefore, it's going to be all by itself, this little tree, or for that matter, maybe even one F-stroke. And you can't take it, it's going to get taken advantage of. Val Karcho, Hakomer Mashrishinvo, everyone's going to be using it even if they shouldn't. And now, as Rashi, the Hefker, Pater Minamaiser. So the first point to make in these two Rashis is the following. We'll get to why Hefker should be Pata from Meister in a second. But if you accept the second Rashi, that Hefker is Pata from Meister, Licha Ora, it raises the question, what do we need the Mechilta for? It even raises the question, is it a Stira in Rashi? So the Pashtus is it's not a Stira in Rashi, because the first Rashi is not necessarily holding like the Mechilta, as much as he's quoting the Mechilta. Rashi seems to hold it's a din in Hefker, but there's a Mechilta out there that has this other drasha. Now, if that's the case, a question for us, which will be the remainder of the shir, almost exclusively, is if we have a halacha, which I'll get to where it comes from in a minute, that Hefker is Pater from Truma, and Shemitah is Hefker, 1 plus 1 equals 2, we should automatically know that Peros Shvius are Pater from Hefker. Pater from Shmi, it's Truma, thank you. Why do we need this weird Mechilta? That's a big question which is going to occupy.
Say that one more time.
If it's true that in general, not in the seventh year, in general, Rashi's line was a general thing. Hefker, Pater mi Meiser. And instead of me just talking around it, I'll mention to you. There's a Sifri, it's quoted in Yerushalmi Peah, it's quoted in Tosas and Adarim, twice in Tosas and Bava Kama, and in other Rishonim as well, Rashi and Sukkot Daf Lamed Tes. There's a famous Sifri Uba HaLevi that it has to be Yerushal. When do you have to give the Levi Meiser something that you have that he wouldn't have? But when it's Yado Shavim, when really he has as much right to it as you, i.e. it's Hefker, I don't have to give him from that. That's the famous drasha. So that's true years 1 through 6. If I'm maskir something, then in Echanami, I don't have to give him a truma maaser on it. Because he has just as much right to it as me. Why should I have to give it from it? A percentage of it. So if that, in it, that's number one. Number two is a Perosh Shemitah or Hefker. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Automatically, we should know that Perosh Shemitah are Pater from Truma. Direct like Akasha, even if it's not a stira in Rashi, but why do we need the Mechilta? That's going to be the big part of the rest of this year. I just want to point out, Agav Orche, that the Dasike Yam in Chelik Bey Simon Chavei has the whole Simon on the topic. And the Afike Yam assumes, and there is a diuk in Rashi to support him, that Rashi understood that the Mechilta meant Hefker. There's not a steer in Rashi's, and it's not a shiloh of what, why you need a Mechilta if you have Hefker. The Mechilta is telling us, and the diuk, I don't remember if he says it, he probably does, but I was just noticing it even as I read it 2 minutes ago, that Rashi's Lashon in the first Rashi is, the Hefkerah the Shvi'is, Potlor Mimaisa Kedetayu Mechilta. If you knew nothing else, it sounds like Rashi is saying the Mechilta teaches us that because it's Hefker, therefore it's Potter. Now there's two problems with that. Now the and Lamaisa Adkan the Afikeyam. As far as I could tell, most Achronim did not learn Rashi that way. And I would say Lani is Daiti for good reason, because I have two kashas on the Afikeyam. Number one is, or Rashi, if you think he's learning Rashi correctly. But it's easier, you feel less guilty asking a Shaila on the Fikayam than you would on Rashi. Number one is, we already have the Drasha of Uba Halevi, which not only is it accepted by various Marmakomos, it's accepted by Rashi. So if Rashi is learning that this Mechilta is about Hefker, but it begs the Kasha, why do we need it? We already have Uba Halevi. And number two is, look high, look low in that Mechilta. Do you see the word Hefker? The Mechilta just says, as long as the animals can eat it, then you can eat it. But once the animals can't eat it, since the animals don't have to give truma, I don't have to give truma. What's that got to do with Hefker? So I think it's very hard to read that the Hefker, that this Mechilta meant Hefker. Which again really begs the Shaila, L'chaora, we have two possible models here. One is a general halacha that Hefker doesn't require truma, and Shemitah is just an example. And the Mechilta seems to be saying, I don't know if you want to say more or less, stronger or weaker, the Mechilta seems to be saying, no, it's a Shemitah Dikadin.
Another Rashi,
Tezvav and Beis, yeah.
Please. In the big Rashi, concern Mechilta.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
the Rashi says, towards the end, he says, Bahar Rav Nuna Sover came into Peturim and Habir, Chayevis B'Maiser, the lab of Kerem Demalkei.
All right.
What's the pshat? I didn't understand what the pshat Rashi was. Why? Because it's Peturim and Abir. Why is he being told in Peturim and Abir?
It's a good question. Other than that, the Gemara just seems to be playing them one off the other.
But it should be after. It was the reason why it should be Chayim Leis is not after.
But so you think this is a Raya like that Mechilta? It's a Din and Shvi. The Shvi to think it's good. So that's really the Shaila. Why? And really this. So that Afikiyam notwithstanding, it's on the record. You know, for anyone to learn Rashi that way. And again, the first Rashi in isolation, you could read it that way. Rashi says Hefker like it says in the Mechilta. But I have two shilas on that. As I said, number one is Mechilta doesn't know anything about Hefker. Number two is Rashi himself holds the Baal Levi, so why would he need it? So, there's numerous ways you could attack this or ask the Kasha, so that this is clearly something that should bother us. Perhaps the most, the pivot of the Sugi, if you will, is the Turi Evin. There's a very big Turi Evin on the Sugya. Again, the Turi Evin wrote on only a few Masechtas, but one of them is Rosh Hashanah. The Turi Evin on our Sugya, Daf Tezvav, quotes this Rashi in Mechilta, and he's the one who asked the Kasha, what do I need this for? We have Yisod in numerous places, Shas and Rishonim, Uba Halevi, Hefker is Pater from Truma, so what do I need this Mechilta for? He's the one who asked the Kasha. So he gives two answers, I want to share both of those. Then I want to share two possible answers from the Stipler, and then I want to share an answer from the Mikdash David, which is, hopefully not this will take us too long, and it'll just be, I hope, some food for thought. So the Turi Evin gives two possible answers, both of which he rejects. One is he says the following, we know that Truma and Meiser are only become Mechuyev once you reach a certain level of, processing, that's the word I'm looking for, thank you, exactly what I'm looking for. Once you've processed the food a certain amount, once you've reached Meruach, So says the following. Let's say you had Hefker. It was Hefker before Meruach. But then someone was Zoche in it and did Meruach. Would that have been Potter from Truma? So says the Torah, presumably not. Because the key time is Meruach. By the time it was Meruach, someone owned it. It should be Chayiv and Meiser. So says the Torah, you might have thought that the same thing was in Nami on Shemitah. If someone was Zoche in it right in the field, that's pre-Meruach. By the time they get to Meruach, it's already been owned by Yank Shmerel. It should be Chayiv and Trumas and Maizris. Kamash Malon, we need the special Mechilta. The Mechilta tells us that no, anything that grew in Shemitah is going to always be Potter, because it's a fundamental halacha. Hefker wouldn't be enough.
So
we need
the Levi drasha apply? Same problem there.
No, that applies all six other years.
But 6 other years, comes up from Hefker, I'm going to process it also. Aren't I going to process it?
Oh, so he rejects it. Exactly, and he's very good. I don't know if he puts it the way you did, but he rejects it. That's his first suggestion. But then he rejects it because he says, once it has the status of Hefker, you can't go back. Once it's Hefker. And once it's Hefker, Baal Levi tells me it's automatically Potter. It doesn't matter that someone was subsequently Zochin. And if he didn't say it that way, it's still in essence what Shlomo asked. Good. That's the first thing he tries, then he rejects it. The second answer he tries is the following. In Yerushalmi Peya, as a machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish, what if somebody is mafkir something only for Jews but not for Goyim? We live in Baltimore, we can see that happening. Right. Somebody decided, I only want other Jews to have it. I'm not going to let any goyim have it. Is such a hefker work? So that's the machlokas, Reish Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Oh, it escapes me for the moment who has said what. But Lamaisa says the Torah Evin, according to the opinion who holds that the hefker is chal. The Hefker is Chal, so maybe Kamash Malon, according to him and Hanami, that we don't need the Mechilta. But according to the one who held Hefker was not Chal, in essence, that's basically what you have in Shemitah. Right? You're not Mechiv to let non-Jews on your property. It's supposed to be the Hefker is for other Jews. We're all one family. We don't hold private property on Shemitah. So we let our fellow Jew come into our property to eat the payros. So that's equivalent to the case in Peah. And if you held that that's not called Hefker, L'inyan Petur Mi Maisrus, so then maybe here you would also not have the Petur Hefker. Kamash Malon, that's why the Mechilta says you need a Drasha. Because even though maybe it's generally true that Hefker works, but this is not really a full Hefker, and this insufficient Hefker would in fact be insufficient for Petur. But Maisa, he ends up rejecting it because he says that we seem to pass him that is Hefker.
What did we say when we were learning Shemitah about the case where the Balabas during Shemitah decided, I'm not making my property happy?
Shomer, we're going to get to that. Yeah, that's called Shomer. That's correct. There's two classic halachas that are discussed in Shemitah about people not doing what they're supposed to do. One is Nebad, if you work the field even though you weren't supposed to.
Right.
And the other one is like, keep my gate locked even though I'm not supposed to. That's called Shomer. Good. So that's the two suggested by the two. Evan Lamaisa, he seems to be, as far as I understood him correctly, it's a big piece, I read through the whole thing today. I think he left the Batsarachian. And that's known within the little, it's not a huge sugya here, but within the sugya, this is the Turi Evans Kasha. Everyone's bouncing off the Turi Evans. So the Stifler discusses this in Rosh Hashanah, in two Simonim, in Simon Aleph and in Simon Yud Gimel. And he has a number of suggestions himself. One answer he gives maybe depends on the famous Machlokas, which I alluded to before, Beis Yosef versus Marit and Mabit, about the Hefker of Shemitah, we did this together, Eli and David, is it Avkata de Malka or Avkata de Gavra? So the Mabit and the Marit held that the Hefker is automatic, Avkata de Malka. But the Beit Yosef famously held that the Torah says it's a mitzvah for every farmer to be mafkir. But if he didn't, the Beit Yosef is the Farish. He did an Avera, but he did an Avera which has consequences. It's not Hefker, and if it's not Hefker, the owner says Beit Yosef, the Farish, should be Chayv and Trumas and Maisus. Says the Stifler, maybe that's good, but that's against us. I'm saying the Stifler says according to the Beis Yosef holds the care to Gavra. What if you have a guy who wasn't mafkir? So that it should be Chayv and Trumas and Maisrus. Kamash Mlon the Mechilta. Then it's still going to be Potter because even though it's not Efker, but it might be still. The hour's late. Let me just go on. The stipler has reasons why he doesn't like that, but that's one suggestion. Another suggestion he makes is David's point before. Namely, even if you say it is Hefker, either because it's Gavra and the guy did it, or because they say it's automatic, so automatically the Torah made it Hefker. What if you have a case, Lu Yitzuyer, he says in Umdana, what if you have a case where the person is Shomer? Says, too bad, okay, I'll do other mitzvahs. This one I'm not going to do. And he guards his fence. The stipler suggests the following. Ubo HaLevi, the drasha of the Sifri that's quoted in various places, is that if the Levi is Yodo Shovin, he has equal access to you, so then it's potter from Trumas HaMaisers. It's not a din in Hefker in a formal sense. It's a din in Yodo Shovin. Everyone's got an equal shot at this. So why should I, the quote-unquote owner or former owner, have more responsibility to give it away when I have no more shot at it than the Levi does? But, says Stipler, in this case, you have a following anomaly. Me'ikra din, in theory, it is, objectively speaking, Hefker. But Lamaisa, it's not Yodo Shovin, because it's still in my property. Usually Hefker is outside, is in Nowersville. But this is in my fence. I have a big fence. No, na, 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 na. It's Hefker. But who cares? It's not Yodo Shovin. And therefore, says the stipler, maybe even if it's Hefker Alpidin, maybe Ubalevi doesn't apply to such a case, because it's not Yodo Shovin. And therefore, it would have been Chayim in Trumas HaMaisers. Hamash Malan Mechilta to Potter in Trumas HaMaisers. And the last thing I want to mention before we end, which is really, I think, a very fascinating idea, which really could lead to more discussion, is something that the Mikdash David raises. The Mikdash David was Rav David Rappaport, who was kind of a Sholem Meshiv, or just a figure in the Beis Medrash, most famously in Baranovich. He was in Rav Chanan's yeshiva. I met somebody, I don't know, I hope he's still alive, but I don't know if he is, Rav Leib Baron from Montreal, who was at the time, this is going back 6-7 years ago before I moved to Baltimore, one of the oldest remaining living Talmidim, Rav Chanan. He had learned in Baranovich. So I asked him all sorts of questions. I spent the Pesach with him the last year before moving to Baltimore about Rav Chanan. And then I asked him, because we were doing, I had been doing mikvos, and the year before I did Shemitah, this was 8 years ago. So 7 years ago Pesach, and the year before I had learned Mikdash David. So I asked him, did you have the Mikdash David? And he said that, again, these were his words on me, he wasn't really a speaker. He wasn't an orator. He didn't really, I think maybe he said a shir, but it's a little bit of a shir. Maybe he didn't even give a shir. He was a major koach. He was a legendary figure in Litha. But he wasn't like Rav Chanan, you know, giving a big famous shir or anything like that. Lamaisa, he's famous, Rav David Rappaport, for his svarim on Kachim. The main Mikdash David mostly is on Kachim. And then there's also a smaller part on Zeroyim. So there, in the Zeroyim part, Mikdash David says the following. If you take a look at Daf Yudalad and Rebbeis, the Shraga said, am I allowed to go back to Daf Yudalad?
Yes.
So it's officially allowed? So if you look at the big Tosfos on top of the page, Ule Shvi'is, you won't do the whole thing. Right in the beginning, he quotes Yerushalmi from Bikurim. Yerushalmi from Bikurim discusses the following. This is a little bit tricky, so let's halt cup. Namely, if you have an esrog, let's use Rabban Gamliel. This could be true for other types of vegetables or fruits, but let's use Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel had said, even he who holds that you go by Lakita, you treat it as a vegetable, that was only for Trumas and Maestras. Even he agreed that the earlier stage, Chanata, is true for Shemitah. So let's say you have an esrog that had its chanata in the 7th year, and its lakita in the 8th. Or vice versa. Let's even go with the vice versa, it's better. Chanata in the 6th, lakita in the 8th.
Al-Shvi'i.
I meant 7th, I'm sorry, 7th. Lakita in the 6th.
Al-Shvi'i.
Lakita in the 6th. I'm sorry. I told you it's confusing. Chanata in the 6th, lakita in the 7th. So, what's Rabban Gamliel's Shita? Lagabe Shmita, we go by Chanata. It's a 6-year, meaning it's not Perish Shmita. Lagabe Trumas and Maestris, we're going to view it Basar Lakita. Which would mean what? That even though, says Rav David Rappaport, the Mikdash David, he's developing Yerushalmi, all the Lumbisha stuff is not Yerushalmi, but what he takes out of Yerushalmi is, even though this Esrog, or these peros, whichever the case may be, have no kedushas shvius, and therefore presumably they're not hefker. Nevertheless, since the lakita was in the 7th year, and we go by trumas and maestros, according to Rabban Gamliel, baser lakita, it's a 7th year crop, comes along, and the Yerushalmi doesn't say this is the other final assist of the Mikdash David. That's where the Mechilta was saying, it's still going to be potter.
Huh?
No, I don't think we have any case like this in our Gemara. In other words, Sezer Dov Rapport, in the Yisod here, Yerushalmi is just the basis, but the Yisod, which is a Gavaldik Achirish, is that Peiro Shemitah are inherently potter from Trubas and Miseris, even if you can come up with a case when they're not Hefker.
Oh, Rav Ramim are in Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, that's why.
Even, you hear what I'm saying? We asked the Shaila, why do you need the Mechilta? Isn't it always Potter Midin Hefker? Says Mikdash David, you don't need Hefker. We don't need to come on to Hefker. The Mechilta is telling us a Chiddush. Why do you need the Mechilta? Because there's a Chiddush. The Chiddush is, it's not Midin Hefker that is Potter, it's Midin Perushvius per se. And you'll say, well, what's the Nafkimina? 99% of the cases, maybe there is none. But the illustration that it's a fundamentally different din is if you can conceive of a case, and this Yerushalmi is one Cheshvin, and creative minds to come up with different scenarios. If you can come up with a scenario, which he does according to Yerushalmi, in which it is Peiro Shvius, but not Hefker. In such a case, even though it's not Hefker, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, but it still has the status of Peiro Shvius. And Peiro Shvius says, Mekdash David are fundamentally Potter. Who told him? The Mechelta told him. That's the Pshat of Mechelta. So it's a bigger Chiddush, which does not require an echrami if you didn't have mechilta. So maybe in most cases anyway, it would be potter because of the old halach of Baal Levi. But then you would never have said it would be potter in such a case. Hamash malon, the mechilta, no, it's a din in peroshvius, not a din in the fact they happen to also be hefker. That's irrelevant for this halacha. Okay?
Shkaya.
Thanks to all of you.